Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another blessed day, another time to do this recording. I love God and His Word and His wisdom. I thank God for all He's doing in the lives of those who love Him, who seek Him to know Him. There have always been a people that would be steadfast and unmovable in the works of the Lord. In Elijah's day, there were 7,000 men that didn't give in to the persuasion of the wicked world way. There was 7,000 that didn't bow their knee to Baal. And there were always people who loved God's will, who did the work of God, who sought the Lord in truth, who did the things that made a difference. And people of that caliber will always be remembered and talked about throughout the ages. They are the people that you won't forget. The people that made a difference, that help you know God. And I thank God for people of that caliber. And every race and every generation has its own people that will do that. I believe there's people in every nation that's just a solid core people of the earth that love God and will obey Him. Now, there are people out there mixed in the world. If the situations were different, they'd come out. And they are the people that God wants to reap now. They are, if certain situations happen and people live the life of God before them, they'll come to understanding and they'll come out of that ragged world. And I believe that God is raising up people who will get them out of Egypt, out of the world system. And I thank God for everybody that's a part of the work. In the days of the tribulation period, the Lord is going to send 144,000 Jews, and they will take the gospel where the church didn't take it. And I thank God for His backup plan. God always has a backup plan to get those people He know we're hearing. And I believe He's doing it now in these last days. And I thank God for it. Every soul is precious in God's sight. God loves us all. And we're all important to Him. Now, the last broadcast, we made it to verse 9 in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 9. And we were talking about how people, you know, I didn't spend much time in the scriptures last broadcast because the Lord had me talking about how He warns people and He has what I like to call countermeasures. The Holy Spirit gave us countermeasures. Countermeasures are weapons that we can use to counterattack what the enemy does. You know, military planes and even Air Force One, they have countermeasures. If somebody sent a rocket-propelled rocket, you know, to blow up the plane will shoot out hot balls of fire, you know, so the heat-seeking missiles will go to that instead of the engines of the plane. That's called a countermeasure. All right. We live in a war. We are born into a war. Every soul on the earth was born into a war between the kingdom of God and the world system, kingdom of Satan. The world system is the kingdom of Satan. And people who love the world, they don't love God. They are enemies to the Lord. And some people are enemies. You know, anybody that loves the world is an enemy to the gospel. They always find fault with it. Now, when people hear the gospel, some people, they hear it, they may not get saved, but that word goes in like a seed. And it begins to develop into faith because it was sown into a good heart, and it gives them light to see, and the Holy Spirit can use that light to guide them out of the world. Now He gives them understanding, and they come out of this world system and they fall in love with God, and they get a brand new spirit. Their sins are forgiven. They're washed in God's in the blood of Jesus, and they're justified. They have a brand new heart. When Jesus rose, they got up with Him spiritually. So, with all that in mind, we follow Jesus. Jesus Christ overcame the world. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the pattern of many brethren. What he is, that's what we become. What Jesus is now, he won against the world system. He overcame it, and he took the kingdom from Satan. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took what Satan had, and he got power over Satan. Now, he took it. He took power over Satan. He said, when he arose, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And he gave unto us power. We have authority now. We're the heavy on the earth. So we're fighting a war that we've already won. But we have to enforce Satan's defeat in our lives. Now, he still attacks us. But his wiles and his attacks are against everything of God. And he has to get us to believe him instead of Jesus. When we're in faith, there's nothing he can do about it. So he tried to distract us with miseries, with people who would treat us wrong or speak unkind or work against us. He tried to attack our bodies with sickness, our mind with confusion. Winds of doctrine that are no good, that lead us off track, off the path of Jesus. He tried to change our focus from looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because if he can get us out of faith, then we're back in a position of weakness that he can hurt us. Now, along the way of this life, that's why the disappointments come. That's why offenses come, get us off track. He's got to overcome you or make it look like he won in your life. He has to get you to back off your faith. He can't do anything about your faith because you have power over it. And your faith overcomes the world. Same faith that Jesus got up from the dead, that he arose from the dead. That's the same faith that's in you, the faith of God. He's got to get you to reject that faith. That's why everything that works against you is to get you in the point to embarrass you, to grieve you, to aggravate you, so that you'll stop believing the Lord by your faith and give in and die. Now, I mentioned some things last week I want to clarify because it's important. I talked about the shield of faith. We're born in this warfare world. In Ephesians, it talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith. And I explain how our shield, you know, is not just like the Roman shield that shields you from the front. The shield of faith is different. It shields us like a bubble. It's like we're protected in full circle. There's nothing that the world can do against us when we utilize the shield of faith. And not only that, through prayer, we can shield others, our children, even friends. People. Sometimes the Lord will wake me up and I may have a vision, or he may prompt me to pray in the Holy Spirit. All right? And when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm praying for somebody's need. I may not consciously know who it is unless the Lord reveal it. But I pray in the Holy Spirit, trust in the Lord. And I know whatever it is I'm praying for. My spirit man knows it, but my mind doesn't have it. It doesn't know because I'm praying in tongues. And I pray in tongues till I start laughing. I get a note of praise. I know that everything's all right somewhere. Wherever it is, it's all right now. All right? Through that process, the Lord used my authority to believe him fervently to protect somebody's life somewhere on the planet. Because this is the realm where we have authority. Now, my faith shielded them like a bubble. whatever it was, no matter how big it is, no matter how bad it was, it's fixed. And the devil couldn't do anything. They won, they live, they get to go forward in life. Charles Capps talked about a time when he was flying and the engine had engine failure in his airplane. And the Lord woke a lady up and she prayed in the Holy Spirit. And then his engine was all right and he landed. Same thing happened to my pastor and Frank Matchin. I used to listen to Frank Matchin on the radio. And little Jim woke up praying in the Holy Spirit. That's my pastor's son. They want a trip to Haiti to preach. And they had engine failure. While little Jim was, the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night, had him praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he got a note of praise. And the engine was all right and they landed. I did the same thing. I prayed. I didn't know who it was, but I found out later that my father was having a diabetic attack. And my niece was there. She was still living there then. And she used to go out of the front door, but she went downstairs to go out the bottom door while I was praying in the Holy Spirit. And she told me that she saw Granddaddy having a diabetic attack. So she went and got him some orange juice and some candy and gave it to him. And he was all right. But that morning, at that time, I was praying in the Holy Spirit. So our faith, we can use our shield of faith to help other people. There was a platoon in World War II. They read Psalms. They stood on Psalms 91 every day. And the captain of that platoon prayed and asked the Lord to spare his men, let them make it through World War II. And they believed God and they prayed Psalm 91 every day. And all of them lived. They had no loss. They had no casualties and nobody got hurt. Other platoons got killed. Some got hurt. Some got injured. Now, these are countermeasures. This is important because we're in a warfare. Now, let's say I'm up here, I'm teaching this. I got a church and I'm teaching that God heals. And I'm teaching people that you can shield people by your faith. And then in my congregation, there are some veterans there who went through a war, Afghan war, Iraq war. They may have lost a limb. And I'm boldly preaching that God can spare you. Now, some people will say, well, you see those people out there. How you think that make them feel that you're teaching that God could have spared their limbs and they lost limbs? Somebody's wife lost a limb in the war, or some husband lost a limb. How do you think that'll make them feel? Well, the Word of God gave us countermeasures. But faith begins where the will of God is where the will of God is known. Now, I feel fine. Because I'm required to teach God's word. I'm required by God to teach healing. And I will not compromise. Even if people are out there that could have been helped. Because there are people out there that's going to need the same help. It doesn't matter how people feel. We were in a war. We were born in a war. The Lord gave us countermeasures. Everybody doesn't always know about them. And sometimes people were taught about them. But they didn't measure the word and stand on it in their lives. And usually it's because people are persuaded not to. And sometimes people are persuaded not to because people look out there and walk by sight and not by faith. And they preach the word in a compromised way. Love, the love of God, tells the truth. The Lord did give us countermeasures. We just got to learn to work the word. We have to learn to stand on the word of God and not take no for an answer. We have to receive the promises that Jesus died for. What about how he feels? He died. He let those Roman soldiers whip him with the cat of nine tails, and it was more than 39 times because he was beaten by Roman soldiers, not by Jewish soldiers. And the Word of God said he didn't even look like a man. He paid a heavy price to pay for our healing. And then on the cross, he laid his life down. He could not be killed by the hands of men because there was no sin in him. He laid his life down and he picked it back up. He even said he was going to do it that way. It looked like they killed him, but he couldn't die because he didn't have sin. He laid his life down. His spirit man left his body at will. And his body was dead because the spirit left. And 3.5 days, in 3 days, after 3 days and three nights, he arose. Now, I said all that to say this, to get us to the point. We are required to preach the good news that God gave us countermeasures. He gave us healing for our body. He gave us protection by our faith. It's our responsibility to learn that faith and operate in it. And I know for a fact sometimes people may not measure the word, because it's according to how we measure. It's how it'll be measured to us. If we measure it small, it'll work small in our life. If we measure it big, it'll work big in our life. It'll be measured to us the way we measure. The way you meet, it'll be measured to you. Jesus said it, and it's true. The challenge is to measure it big and stand on the word and finish the course and receive your blessing. You can be protected. You can win in this life. But what about people who seek the Lord? They try to get healed and they fail. I'm not ashamed of anybody that attempts to be healed and fail. In this life, you are going to have success, and you can also have failures. The Lord knew; He knows that you can only measure the word so much. That's on you. That's on you how you measure it. All right. Let's say you've been diagnosed with cancer or something, and you start believing God for healing. But you also have doubts, and you don't really know how to get rid of doubt yet. But you're determined to be healed because you got children you want to see grow up, it's real important for men to see their daughters grow up. They want to guide their daughters in life because there's a lot of traps out there against women, and they want to be here, and they ought to be here, and they have a right to. And the Lord gave them countermeasures. He gave them healing because He knew we'd need it. We're born in a war. So the Lord said in James, if there be any sick among you, let them go to the elders, and they will pray the prayer of faith, and they'll be healed. If you're aspiring to be healed, and you don't feel successful, and you're afraid that you're not going to be healed, stand on the word of God. But you have countermeasures. Go to people who believe God, and they'll pray for you, and you'll be healed. Elders are those who trust the Lord, who seek the Lord. They will pray the prayer of faith, and you will be healed. It's a promise of the word of God. Another countermeasure, there are people who are anointed to heal. And you can go to a healing crusade such as Benny Hinn. But go in faith and receive your healing because the anointing is there to break the yoke. There are many churches. Our pastor has he's anointed to heal. And people get healed all the time. Almost every Sunday, several people get healed. Several people get healed. Minor ailments, great ailments, pains, all kind of things. the Lord truly gave us countermeasures. It's up to us to learn to use them. We said in the other broadcast, when people are when they have a heart of love, it's easy to receive what God is saying. Now, people who love God, they are the first to receive. They are the first to understand. They can receive what the Holy Spirit is trying to get over to them. They can receive these wonderful promises and countermeasures and use them and go forward in life. Now, true love will work with you. A person of love, I think about Coach Scurlock. He loved us. If you did wrong, if you stole something, did anything wrong, he would get that paddle and he would wear your behind out. He paddled one guy, you could hear it echo in the gym, and everybody did right for a long time at Curry Elementary School, where I used to go. That coach loved us. He cared about us. And we knew it, because he wouldn't let us do wrong. And he meant business. And this was, you know, back in the day when they paddled you. Even the principal would paddle you if you did wrong. They had a right to. Now, the preacher that preached the word of God to help people grow, they love you. When you preach the word in faith, they love you. And they want to see you better off. Now, I mentioned about the, you know, military people in my, let's say, you know, in my parable church. And they're out there with missing limbs. And I'm preaching how God can save you out there on the battlefield and spare you from that. Some people will think that that's mean. It's not about feelings, it's about truth. We're required to teach God's word. Now I'm going to go a step further. There are people who have had recreative miracles, healing. The Lord restore limbs. They have every right, if they measure the word of God, to believe God for missing limbs. And they can have their hand, their arm, their leg back. Preacher, you're going too far. By Jesus' stripes, we're healed. Jesus paid for it. Wherever there's an atmosphere of faith, wherever people will learn and take the Lord at His word, they can have recreated miracles again. And have a natural living, you know, blood flowing hand again. Arm, leg, eye, everything. And that's what I'm required to preach, and I will preach it. I'm not a soothsayer. Soothsaying preachers, they just soothe people with the word and preach excuses. And I decided a long time ago, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do exactly what He gave me to do. People who are lukewarm, they preach soothsaying messages. I don't want nothing to do with that. Now, a coach that would see you doing something and not say anything. Well, his parents, they gonna fuss at me if I whoop. That coach doesn't love. He didn't act on his love. He didn't even try to talk to the guy. He just collecting his check and going home. The preacher that won't preach the word of God, where's the love? I can't help you. The word of God can. Jesus put countermeasures out there. He equipped us to win in life. And I'm going to preach His word. Now, this is what David did. In verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, so now this, he was down, he went to Ziklag, and his all of the wives and the goods and the children were taken away. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. We read about that in verse 6. Verse 9 says, so David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake, a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water, 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because three days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those of the cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made to also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all of the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them anything of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company and came against us into the land. Let me read that again. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us in our hand. For all who will hearken unto you in this matter, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And this reminds me of what Jesus said, the men that worked all day in the field, and then those that came at the last hour, he all paid them the same thing. David did it too. Okay, verse 25. And it was so from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were of Bethel, and to them which were in the south Ramoth, and to them that were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aror, and to them which were in Siphonoth, and to them which were in Esthmoa. These are words, man. In verse 29, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of Jeremelites, and to them which were of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to those which were in Cherishon, and to them which were in Athach, and to them which were in Hebron, and the places where David himself and the men were wont to hunt. Wherever they went, that's what they gave the spoil, and they parted it equally. Now, David did what was right. He acted on his courage. You know, sometimes hard things happen, and you have to have courage instead of fear. It's important. Winning a war is not always easy, and people get hurt. Good people can get hurt. Good people can die. And I'm not ashamed of people who fight and lose the fight, or they fight and they may die. They may have a disease, and they may endeavor to be healed, but they may lose. I'm not ashamed of them, because in Christ we live either way. Either we're going to live with him, or we win and we live longer on the earth and we get to do God's work. It's better for us to be here and serve God here, because in heaven, you know, the war is over for you, but we need soldiers here.